In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. So that I will not be distracted by the glorious colour that is before me sitting on our organ bench, let us congratulate Stephen Griffin on receiving his doctorate this week. You wonder how I remembered. This past Thursday, the Church Universal, but quietly as usual, celebrated the Feast of the Ascension. This is recorded by the church historian Luke in volumes 1 and 2 of his magnum opus. Volume 1, the Gospel of Luke, and volume 2, the Acts of the Apostles. Listen to the opening words of the Acts of the Apostles, which is sometimes called the fifth gospel, or the gospel of the Holy Spirit. In the first book, Theophilus, which means lover of God, friend of God, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning in the first book, now the second volume. The day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. The Feast of the Ascension. In the early 80s, I served a second curacy in the University Church of Southampton in England. At the church was a sexton named Dave. Dave, like me, was born in the centre of London, in the sound of Bow Bells. Dave, like me, was a Cockney. But unlike me, Dave had retained his Cockney accent. Mine had been worn away by University of London, University of Oxford, and then, of course, by the stately Church of England. So, approaching this celebration of Ascension, I shared my anxiety with Dave the sexton. I said, "Dave, what am I going to preach about?" And his answer in Cockney voice was simple and direct. "Well, Alan, I believe this. What goes up must come down." And there you have it. However we process or integrate or assimilate this untoward and weird event that they're looking at Jesus and he rises before them and a cloud comes between them, and when the cloud goes, he's gone. However we process it, this is the primal truth that Luke wants to ring in our hearts, to enliven our minds and to strengthen our wills, that just as Jesus was taken from them, so one day he will come back in glorious majesty. The Ascension is often described, and I like this, as the coronation of Christ. You see, proud American that I am, I'm still British somewhere. Christ is enthroned on high. And so the psalmist affirms again and again, the Lord reigns. The Lord is king. Listen to these glorious words that were spoken by Archbishop William Temple as the storm clouds were gathering for yet another international warfare. He said this to a gathering of bishops. "While we deliberate, he reigns. When we decide, he reigns. When we decide foolishly, he reigns. When we serve him in humble loyalty, he reigns. When we serve him self-assertively, he reigns. When we rebel and seek to withhold our service, he reigns. The Alpha and Omega, which was and is to come, he reigns." The doctrine, the belief in the Ascension, affirms when we are dumb, conceives when we are blank, resonates when we are inert, that the Lord is King. The Lord reigns. And he will return to establish that kingship. This Jesus, who has been taken up for you in heaven, will return as you see him go. National, global horrors of terrorism occur that pummel us again with the fragility of our existence. And personal, familial tragedies occur that shake us to our very core. But at such times, brothers and sisters in Christ, we need gathered together. We need pray. We need sing. We need remind one another that the Lord has not abdicated. He reigns. Yesterday, the Archbishop of York, John Sentamu, wrote this, and it's a long quotation. He writes, "Our world is in pain, groaning and longing to be liberated from futility and decay. The deliberate targeting of children and their families with a calculated and callous equation of evil demonstrates brokenness. A deliberate act contorted and twisted within the framework of a brutalist ideology that exists outside the understanding of our shared humanity." But then he continues, "The love that we have witnessed stands in stark opposition to the evil that sought to taunt it. It is the kind of love which contends with tragedy, endures hardship, is steadfast in difficulty, and in the end wins out. The love that many waters cannot quench. The love that cannot be blown apart. The love that is so strong and passionate that it refuses to die even when we ourselves may die or pass away." The Lord reigns. And therefore, authentic love reigns too. No coup can overthrow this government. But then this peculiar, outlandish doctrine of the ascension speaks to me another profound truth, which I'll do my best to share with you. You see, the man that stood before them was the man with wounds in his hand and wounds in his side and wounds in his feet. And this is the man that is taken up into heaven and disappears before them. And so now I say something which makes no sense in English, but to my heart resonates. There is a man in heaven with wounds. Language breaks down. It cannot carry the enormous weight of this glorious affirmation. But it is true. We do not have a great high priest, says the writer to the Hebrews, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. We have Jesus, who ever lives to make intercession for us. And when we bring in prayer the murdered, the maimed, the mourning, those in despair, we bring them to the one who understands and sympathizes, identifies, and is present. From long ago, I remember the story of the young girl who woke from an awful nightmare screaming. Her parents run to the room, soothe and calm her, and as they leave, they place her favorite doll on her pillow. But as they go out the door, the young girl says, "No, not enough. When I hurt, when I'm scared, I want someone with real skin on their face." And so do we. We want in heaven someone with real skin on their face, who understands, who stands with us. In 1974, Donald Coggan became the 101st Archbishop of Canterbury, and I promise this is the last Archbishop of Canterbury to whom I refer in this sermon. Despite, as you can imagine, the most careful proofreading of that service, the most egregious mistake was made on the very front page. Instead of reading the enthronement of Donald Coggan, it read the enthornment of Donald Coggan. Many a bishop and many a priest will sympathize with that. His grace was wise and astute enough to use that error in his sermon. And so he described how vocation is always accompanied by sacrifice. How fitting on this Memorial Day weekend. He made the point that enthronement is always accompanied by enthornment. And so the enthornment of Jesus is a real and present comfort to us, but also, friends, it is a stark and resolute challenge to any who look for the glory of office without the ready embrace of woundedness, humility, and sacrifice. In our psalm, you sang or you heard these words: "Let the righteous be merry and joyful." How's it going? We're called to be merry and joyful, not in some sort of Pollyanna way of looking at the world, but because despite what is happening, the Lord reigns. And near to God is a wounded man who pleads on our behalf. Thanks be to God. Amen.